This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. To Sci-Fi Noise. Sci-Fi Noise is a part of the Deliberate Noise Network and can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. I'm your host, Derek Howard, and you can send feedback to Derek@deliberatenoise.com. That's D-E-R-E-K. Okay, first off, I am not in my house. I'm outside recording, so this will all be off the top of my head, which I guess for Sci-Fi Noise, I usually do off the top of my head anyway, usually in a car or something. All right, here it is. Here's the Deliberate Noise audio comment line in case you want to leave an audio comment at 734-274-5919. There's also another number, which is the Google Voice number, which will eventually become the Deliberate Noise audio comment line, but I don't know it by heart. I don't have it programmed into my phone. Usually when I say it, I'm by my computer, and right now I am, as I said, not near my computer. Anyway, like I said, this is going to be something off the top of my head. It is very early on a Saturday morning. Yeah, it's early for me, I should say, because it's 7 o'clock, which is very early for me. I work afternoon, so I get off at midnight. I usually don't even get in bed till about 1:30, 2 o'clock. So 7 o'clock on a Saturday, usually very early. However, I have been afflicted with the curse that is insomnia. So even though last night I went to bed early for me, which was about 12:30, 1 o'clock, I woke up around 3 o'clock. 3:30. Been up ever since then. So I've had a lot of stuff going through my mind. And most of it's sci-fi related. So I decided, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'll record at least a segment for Sci-Fi Noise. There's also some email that I want to read later on in the show. And to address that, as well as a comment that was left on the website, which, as I said, was deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. Now, first off, I want to say that for me, when I use the term sci-fi, that is definitely just short for science fiction. However, I have a friend, Bruce Rosenberger, from the Comics Cast podcast, who sees science fiction and sci-fi as two separate things. Science fiction is the genre that we all love that deals with speculative fiction based around science. Okay. Well, sci-fi is basically television shows and movies and books and comic books that could best be described as B-movie level at the very best, you know, sort of like the what the Sci-Fi Channel puts on Saturday nights. What was it like Sea Bear versus Octo Robot or something? I don't know. On Saturday nights, when I was younger, I'd have better things to do on Saturday nights. Now that I'm older, I don't know what I do on Saturday nights, but most of the time I'm just thinking, man, when I was younger, I used to be out and about. Now, I just want to bring that up because when I say Sci-Fi Noise, I don't necessarily mean that I'm just going to be talking about B-movies that deal, like I said, of a speculative fiction. No, it's just, like I said, it's just short for saying science fiction. I could have said science fiction noise, but to me, sci-fi noise just rolls off the tongue a little bit easier. So I just want to get that off my chest. There will be times when I will talk about the different types of science fiction that I'm into. Because let's face it, that's what the show is about. It's what I'm into and hopefully what other people are into. If you want to send an audio comment, definitely play it. Email, definitely read it. Depending on how long it is, I'll read it on the show. Or if not, I'll just edit it, take out certain sections that I want to talk about. I don't know if this is making any kind of sense, but I suppose, like I said, it makes about as much sense as me driving home, talking into the recorder. Now, there are several different types of science fiction, as we all know. And I will probably, you know, if I come across something, I will talk about them. You know, there's, I don't know, I guess hard science, which I would say is stuff, hard science fiction, I should say, which is stuff that's, more based in reality, you know, with, our current reality, I should say, because let's face it, 20 years ago, if you told me that I would be talking into a recorder that had no moving parts to it except for the on off switch, I would have thought that you were on dope. Now, if you told me about digital cameras, I would not have thought you were on dope, okay? Because I once wrote a story back in 1983-84 when I was in high school, and one of the characters used a camera, and I described it as one that used an electronic process and not a chemical process for pictures, which later became digital cameras. That's why I've always been kind of fascinated with them, just the concept of them as an actual product, not so much. You know, it's a picture is a picture. Now, if I had said that that was built into a phone that you could carry around, then I would really have been a visionary, because as I was writing that, it was a point where in my house there were three rotary phones. We did not have a push button phone when I wrote that story. Okay. And I remember watching TV, and they were talking about something called caller ID, where apparently if somebody calls, you can tell what telephone it was coming from. And if they were in the phone book, you could look up the name of who was calling you. I mean, wow, you know, you know. OK, so there you go. That to me, if I had written that story back in 1983, that would have been hard science fiction, because most people would have been like, really? And the next thing you're going to tell me that people would be carrying around computers in their pockets and listen to music on them. So there's stuff like that. The Andromeda Strain. In fact, a lot of Michael Crichton's books are not just hard science fiction, but hard fiction, period. Because his book, Rising Sun, was based a lot more in what was going on with, the American, Japanese relationship, financially. You know, there was some actual study done there instead of like what most people would do, which would be to make up something totally off the wall and bizarre, you know. I can't even think of a good explanation, but Rising Sun really did do some research. He really did do some research into the financial system, just like with Disclosure. He did some research into the my dog's heard something. He did some research into sexual harassment suits and that kind of thing. So, you know, I always appreciated Michael Crichton for stuff like that. Now, when I tried to read the book, was it Timeline? That's when I That's when the infatuation with the band's works kind of finished, you know. But his stuff is what I would consider to be an example of hard science fiction. Contact, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, those are all movies that I would put under hard science fiction. As opposed to, I don't know, like space operas or space western types, like Star Wars. That is definitely that, and Star Trek, Star Wars, even Babylon 5. Those are all things that aren't necessarily hard science fiction, but at the same time, I wouldn't lump them in with like A Battle Beyond the Stars, which was just a retelling of Seven Samurai / Magnificent Seven set in outer space, you know, or that episode of, it was a 2-part episode of, Battlestar Galactica. That was just basically a retelling of the Dirty Dozen. Man, I wish I could remember what it was called. Oh, I'm going to say like Ice Station Zebra, but no, that's the, was that Alistair McLeish? Was that the guy who wrote that book? Anyway. But that's what I mean. That is soft science fiction, but I guess that also wouldn't fall into what Bruce would consider to be sci-fi, which is like the hokiest of the hokey. Not necessarily movies like, well, I was about to say Anaconda, but more like Anaconda 2, all right, where they take what's already a borderline B movie and take all the star power and most of the budget for special effects. Now, I also want to say that I want to keep this as a science fiction podcast. So, I mean, there's not really going to be a whole lot of talk about the horror genre. Not a whole lot about zombies, or was it? 28 Days Later, they weren't really zombies. They were afflicted with the rage virus. So the fact that there is the virus would probably lean more towards sci-fi. However, they don't really put it a whole lot of sci-fi trappings on it. Most of it is leaning towards the horror aspect. I also don't plan on talking about fantasy, such as, you know, any of the Dungeons and Dragons type stuff, anything sword and sorcery, unless, you know, it connects. What was it? It was like, not Ice Pirates, but there was something where, I think it was Ice Pirates maybe, where Robert Urich, you know, Dan Tana, he was a swashbuckling type swordsman. But at the same time, they were out in outer space. I want to say it was Ice Pirates, though. And there, I said Ice Pirates like 4 times now. Anyway, stuff like that. Or even kind of, I don't know, stuff that... See, Anne McCaffrey kind of screwed me up. Because I would just say, like, you know, none. But if you've ever read the Dragonflight books, which I have, I've read all of them up to a certain point. They start from a certain point, and then later on, she starts telling stories of the past, you know, the prequels, and you know, there's a prequel here, a prequel there, until finally she started telling the whole story, going backwards, and you find out that the people of Pern were actually descendants from star travelers, and you know, the dragons were sort of what was it called? Genetically modified creatures. The thread actually had a real purpose besides killing people. You know, there were the three sisters that they had as a constellation, and it turns out that was three spaceships in geosynchronous orbit. So that kind of screws me up, you know, because these fantasy novels have their roots in science fiction, you know? But at the same time, they're not science fiction. I mean, because if you only read the Dragon Riders of Pern, the White Dragon, or the Master Harper stories and that kind of stuff, then you wouldn't know any of this. But my mother was the one who actually kept reading backwards, and she got to one point, she was like, I think you find this interesting. And she gave me this book, and I read it, and I was like, oh, okay. So it's like, ding, light goes on, and it all connected and all made sense. And like I said, that kind of screws me up, you know, almost like the comic book series Girls, because Girls started off almost horror like, and then got really science fiction-y, and then kind of, I don't know, you know, there was the sword, which started off one way and ended up totally different. So I mean, it's just, I like it when authors do stuff like that, you know, not when they go overboard with it. I'm trying to think, Anne McCaffrey is like the one person, one series of books that really went there. Another perfect example would be the TV show Lost. You know, because when Lost first came out, it was a survival story, you know. In fact, at one point, they were going to try to make it sort of like a fictionalized version of the television show Survivor, where people, that's why in the first few episodes, people were like disappearing left and right, like almost every week or so. But then they decided to turn it into, you know, sort of a science fiction story. And then towards the end, it got a little bit more on fantasy, but to me, there's still enough of the science fiction to keep it in the science fiction realm. And my dog is looking at me and she looks very sad. I don't know why. Maybe it's because she's a hound dogish type. Anyway, Lost also brings me to mind with this show I saw recently. I'm always in the market to see a good independent production, you know, independent movie, independent television show, sort of like a web thing. I have absolutely no problem with that. There was this thing called Welcome to the Scene. The first season they had was not really science fiction, but it was very well told, in my estimation. They were talking about the whole wares scene for trading movies illegally, and it was all told in chat boxes, you know, IM boxes and that kind of stuff, and it was really, really well done. If to me, it was very imaginative, and then they came back for a second season. They were talking about like gun running or something. I was like, yeah, I'm not interested in this. So I like, and plus they got rid of the whole chat box thing, the IM box thing. So I watched like the first couple episodes and was like, nah, I liked it the first time around, even though it did have a bad ending to me. But there's a movie, when I was watching that, there was a movie called Lion's Share, which is once again about the file sharing community, basically. And this one was about this, you know, man and a woman. No, man and a woman who met each other. And I haven't gotten this far, but to the whole thing. But man and woman meet each other, and apparently he turns her on to this new file sharing site, and like she spends a lot of time on there. I only started watching the first little part, but I stopped. I don't know why I stopped. I think I got busy, got interrupted from watching it, and I just never went back to it. But the people who created the Lion's Share movie have a a science fiction show that they're going to start called Pioneer One. And last night, you know, it's one of those things where it's Creative Commons. They want to put it out there so that people will share it, so they can get a buzz going for it. Now, I watched the first episode. They only have like one episode out now. And I think what their thing is if it is very well received, then they're going to make more, you know. That's how it is. If people see it, they like it, they say, hey, I want to contribute, either financially or, I don't know, by sending out publicity. Who knows? So that's how that is going to go. Like I said, I watched the first one, downloaded it off of their site. Now they usually use the, was it H.265? Is that the format that they use? The MKV? Well, for some reason, that just completely bogs down my laptop. I can watch it, but everything moves really, really slow. And eventually the sound gets unsynced. So I try to find the DivX version. Yes, I know it doesn't look as well, but at least I can watch it. You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't matter if you have the best looking show on the internet. If people can't watch it, then they can't see that it's the best looking one, you know? But anyway, this is a science fiction show. The first episode sets up the whole premise, which is, I'm trying to remember how it went. Homeland Security guy thinks that there is this terrorist, some sort of a terrorist attack, because there's like an airplane of some sort that flies over a small town and infects everyone with some sort of radiation. Okay. When it lands, it seems like it's a spaceship of some sort. And the only person that comes out of it is a kid who is wearing a Soviet cosmonaut suit type deal. And he's basically saying, what side are you on? And he claims that he was born on Mars in a Russian colony. So, I mean, there you go. It sets up everything that there's this Russian colony on Mars. And I'm kind of curious to see where it goes. You know, now I just want to say that the story could have been tightened up. Now, of course, this is a independent project, so they don't have the budget for such things as saying a irradiated space capsule going over a small town. But that's okay, because you can get around stuff like that. I mean, let's face it, a lot of the creepiest science fiction-y stuff, such as X-Files, you don't actually see what happened. You see the aftermath. And so I have no problem with seeing the aftermath. You know, if they had, you know, dug a hole and had a bunch of dry ice for smoke, you know, I have no problem with that, right? The only problem that I really had with it was like this one extended sequence where the Homeland Security guy was talking to a retired CIA guy who was giving him some insight into the Soviets during the Cold War. I felt that it was a scene that went on entirely too long. It had really good information and backstory to help set up, like I said, the whole premise of the show. But they had them on the telephone. They had two people on a telephone. And so you have one guy who's just sitting there talking, staring off into space, not interacting with anything. And you had the other guy listening, asking questions every now and then, but mostly nodding, not interacting with anything. And I think that that scene would have been a whole lot better if both guys were like in the same spot, right? If they in the same room, talking back and forth over a cup of coffee or something and probably wondering, well, how would the guy get there? Yeah, trust me, that could have easily been written around, especially since this particular character, the retired CIA guy, he seems like the type of character who would pop up in times of trouble, you know. I recommend it. I really do. If you like independent productions, like I said, just realize it moves a little slower than network television because they're not trying to sell you doodads and sugar water in between scenes. But even then, it does move kind of slow. Could have been tightened up a little bit. The acting is surprisingly good for an independent production. And I've watched a lot of independent movies throughout my lifetime. And this seems, the level of acting seems to be, for you movie fans, on same par as, like, let's just say an early Hal Hartley film, but without an Adrian Shelley, you know. Some people are just like, what the hell are you talking about? Well, let's just say that it's not bad, but I really don't see any of the actors winning any acting awards, major acting awards anytime soon. But once again, I do recommend it. Stop by the website and I will have a link to the website in the show notes simply because I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. Now, in addition to Pioneer One, because that's what it's called. I don't even know if I said what it was called, but yeah, it's Pioneer One. In addition to Pioneer One, I have been watching a lot of I've been watching a lot of science fiction, but there are two shows I've been watching a lot of. That I want to talk about, and two that I'm just barely going to mention, but I'm going to go into greater detail on them later. The two that I'm going to go into greater detail later are Warehouse 13 from Sci-Fi Channel and Eureka from the Sci-Fi Channel. I'll talk about them on the next episode because their seasons have both just recently started, as well as a season of Haven. And I've only seen like the first episodes of each. I think they all came out last night, so I have to go to my DVR. But the two that I've been watching a lot of, especially over the summer, have been Farscape and Stargate SG-1. Now, everybody knows I love Stargate Universe. I think that is easily the best sci-fi show on television right now. I know some people would say Doctor Who, but I think I mentioned this on the last episode. Doctor Who is more of a horror show now. You know, it's a lot less science fiction, but Stargate is a lot more hard science fiction, you know, rather than the silly goofiness of Doctor Who, which I do like, by the way. But if you're given a chance between watching reruns, because, you know, most people say, well, if I had to watch a choice between watching a first run Doctor Who or a first run Stargate, you know, then that's all personal preference. To me, that's all about the anticipation, you know. Do you really anticipate Doctor Who being good this week? Do you really anticipate Stargate Universe being good this week? It's one thing. But to go back and watch the reruns, to me, that's where it is. Which would you rather watch? And for me, I enjoyed Doctor Who, with the exception of a few episodes. But with Stargate Universe, I loved every episode. They haven't had a clunker to me. Doctor Who's had a couple of clunkers this past one with the Matt Smith era, which has begun. But I've never watched Stargate SG-1. I saw the movie long time ago. Put it like this. I saw it when it first came out on VHS, and I haven't seen it since, okay? But I may revisit the movie. Ugh, I don't know. But the television show is on Hulu. I think all 9 or 10 seasons, how many seasons there were. I'm starting from the beginning, and I'm telling you right now, I do not like this show. You know, I do not like it at all. Man, oh man. I decided I was just going to watch them in order. I watched the first. I watched the 2 hour premiere. Was it Children of the Gods or something like that? And I thought it was pretty good. I saw room for improvement, and I thought, okay, it will improve. So I started watching the second, the third, and the fourth episodes, and I thought, oh my god, these episodes are like an hour and a half each, and they're not. They're only like 40 minutes each, minus commercials. And it was just a chore to get through. And I got all the way up to like the Hathor episode, and it's just like, this is what I don't like about a lot of syndicated shows, period. You know, why even though I dug a Legend of the Seeker, I stopped watching Legend of the Seeker simply because you know that nothing's ever going to really get resolved. Okay. And I don't like shows like that. I don't like shows where nothing ever gets resolved. Long time ago, the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, my favorite cartoon, until I realized, you know what, they're never going to go home. Because as soon as they go home, the show's over. It's the same thing with the Land of the Lost. As soon as they go home, the show is over. Lost in Space, they go home, the show is over. Lost, they ended up going home, and they were even more lost than before. But I think Lost also, they owed a lot to the movie Castaway, because Castaway dealt with that same thing. People lost on a person lost on a desert island. He gets home and he finds out that he's still lost. He's still a castaway, even though he's surrounded by a bunch of people, you know? So I'm watching this show and I'm like, you know what? This is episode 14. I'm just going to skip up. I'm going to read these. No, it was after Hathor. It was the one with the little girl with the bomb in her. I think that was after. Anyway, I started skipping. It's just started selecting whatever looked even semi-interesting on the solicitation. Not a solicitation. What is it? The description, the show description. You can tell I'm a comic book guy when I start talking about solicitations as descriptions of future episodes. But I would read the description, and if it seemed like it was semi-interesting, I would watch it. And if it seemed like, I don't know, regular sci-fi TV show crap, I was just going to skip it. There was, I think the one that I started skipping was one where Tilk was placed on trial. Because if that's one thing I really despise about science fiction TV show conventions, not conventions as in everybody gets together dressed up in costumes and listens to people and buys stuff. I'm talking about conventions as in, I don't want to use the word stereotype, but, you know, I that's why I say conventions, but trope maybe. Yeah, I'm going to use that. Sci-fi TV trope is the trial. It seems like every show has a trial episode, or they have an interrogation episode, or they have, if there's a male and a female lead actors, then they're like trapped somewhere and they have to cuddle together to ward off the cold, you know. It's just stuff like that. And it's just like, ugh. Whenever I reach those episodes, and it doesn't matter what sci-fi show I'm watching, they all seem to have that, I'm done. It's just like, ugh, I can't watch this again. I'm going to the next episode. So I skipped a bunch. Now, there are some tropes that I do like, such as the alternate reality. You know, because there's an alternate reality. You get to see what could have happened if only certain things were changed. Babylon Squared, and I can't remember what the other part of Babylon Squared was. The one that happened like a couple of seasons later. One of my favorite Babylon 5 stories, you know. And not necessarily for the story of what was happening, but for the little glimpses of possible futures. You know, I like that. The little alternate realities. I like those. I like those type of stories. What was it? The Inner Light, which that is another one that has, that is a story from a Star Trek Next Generation that is seemed like it has the possibility of becoming a trope where you have a character who lives out their life as an old person on a very like rural or agrarian society, because they did that on Farscape as well. But I hope that that doesn't catch on. I haven't gotten to that point in Stargate, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. But anyway, so I skipped a bunch of episodes. There was one about the little girl with the bomb in her, which I kind of like that. Not the fact that, you know, this little girl was going to blow up, because you knew she wasn't really going to blow up, but how they got around and how they figured it out, because it's a mystery. I like stuff like that. But then I got to the one where Daniel went to a different dimension where the Ghoul and the Jafar are attacking the planet Earth, and they're just like wiping Europe out, and I think they got Detroit. I know they got New York and Washington, because no offense to people in New York or Washington, but if I was in charge of an intergalactic armada who's coming to take over Earth, I would not go for New York or Washington or Chicago or LA. You know, I would go for, I guess, everywhere else and push everybody towards those big cities and then kind of like wall them off so that, you know, New York and Washington and all that kind of stuff. Well, of course, New York and LA would be prisons because, you know, where else is Snake Plissken going to get out of? But, yeah, that's how I would do it. If you take over Kansas and Nebraska and you have everywhere else, you know, all these flyover states that people in L.A. and New York and Washington sort of look down upon when as they're flying over in their aerial planes and heliotropes. Yeah, you take all the rest of that, then to hell with New York and every place else, because what are you guys really going to do, you know? I mean, I haven't heard about too many, you know, like wheat farms in New York City. I'm pretty sure some stuff is sold there. But anyway, yeah, that's what I would do. But I don't know. I'm one of these guys who I don't think, how would I fight off an alien armada? I'm thinking, if I was in charge of the alien armada, what would I do? But anyway, no, I'd just leave those big high population areas alone. Let you guys a siege. Just put a siege around the cities and you guys end up burning yourselves out and surrendering. Especially if you put Lane Smith in charge. Now, there is a callback to V and Red Dawn. But anyway, what was I talking about? Yes, I'm very sleepy, by the way. And I've been talking for about 40 minutes. I don't know if I'm making any kind of sense. Oh, yeah. So I'm at that point. I watched that episode. And I thought that was like the best episode of the season so far. Then the next episode, Lordy B, it continued the story. You know, it's like, wait a minute, these aren't one and done stories anymore. That's the kind of stuff I like. You know, Farscape is another show I've been watching, and to me, it's vastly superior. And the one reason that I find it vastly superior is, you know, it's got even goofier stuff than Stargate, but there are consequences from one episode to the next. And they established that very early on. Whereas Stargate, they don't start establishing multi-part storylines until towards the end of the season. Not even multi-part storylines, but multi-part subplots, you know? Farscape is just, you know, right now, vastly superior, the stuff that I'm watching. And I'm starting to get into the, was the second or the third season? Oh, I just finished the second season. Starting the third season. The third season, they changed the theme song, which I really don't like. One of the major characters who's been around since the beginning has just died, and it really bummed me out. And then after that one, there was another bummer episode to follow up with it. It's like, wow. Man, Farscape is starting to bum me out a bit. But I'm looking forward to it. And they had some three-part episode. They had a three-part episode. They had actually two three-part episodes so far that were both really, really good. And I like that kind of stuff. And I'm under the impression that what I'm watching now with Stargate is SG-1. Stargate SG-1 is the beginning of a three-part episode. I mean, like, right in the middle of a three-part episode. So we will see. Anyway, you know what? Like I said, I've just been rambling for like 40 minutes now. I'm going to stop here. I will be back with, I think I don't have any audio comments yet, although I am expecting one from Bruce Rosenberger, and I am quite frankly expecting one from anyone who's listening who wants to share any kind of information whatsoever. I have absolutely no problem with that. But I do have some email and what else? Email. Oh, I do have an audio comment from Bruce Rosenberger. What am I talking about? He sent me something. I have to do some editing on that because there's also some other personal non-sci-fi noise-related stuff. So I'm going to put that on there. As well as Ricky Hansen left a comment on the blog, as well as I've got some emails. So I'm going to start reading that, and I'll address that, and I will be back. This is going to be a long episode, but hey, you know what? What else are you going to do? It's early Saturday morning. As if you're just going to wait till it's very early Saturday morning when you have insomnia to actually sit down and listen to this. Well, actually, you know what? That would be really cool if you did. So, well, it's too late now. I should have said that in an early part. But, you know, if you pass this on to somebody who you know has insomnia, tell them to listen to this being early, you know, up early in the morning after only a couple hours of sleep. And I'll bet you'll think like me, like, oh, this is awesome. Anyway, here's a little break. Well, that's not going to work. All right, I'm in the house now. You can tell by the different sound quality of the microphones. I know I just said that I had an audio clip from Bruce Rosenberger, but I forgot to download it in time, so it expired. He sends what I call Bruce casts. They're just, you know, They're a little bit more than voicemails, but they're like usually about 5 or 10 minutes long. And I usually get him, listen to him, and I don't think to download. This time I wanted to download it, but I was at work when I listened to it, which I'm not supposed to do, by the way. And I didn't get it in time, so it expired. So, unfortunately, until Bruce sends in an actual audio comment line, his thoughts on that subject, and I can't even remember exactly which one it was, will be lost forever. However, I do have a blog comment from Rick Hansen, as well as a email from Bruce. So, first, this was in regards to the last episode, which came out about a month ago. Wow. Hey, I'm on track with doing these monthly now. It's pretty good for me. From Sci-Fi Noise 7, Rick Hansen said, I gather from this episode that you enjoyed Chuck S.
GU and BSG, but aren't a fan of X-Files, Heroes, or SG-1. I'm a big fan of Chuck as well, even though I've noticed a great deal of repetition in the last season. For example, Chuck's penchant for lying to Sarah. I also agree that Heroes had a problem with too many characters. This didn't work for the most part due to such a large volume of plot threads that only tie together at the end of each season. With so many characters, it can be frustrating to watch them off doing their own thing without joining together until the climax. First off, yes, I'm a huge proponent of Chuck's, by the way. I strongly recommend that anybody watch it. Sci-fi fan or not, you know, even if you don't watch television, you only listen to podcasts, and you only turn on TV to watch C-SPAN or something, check out Chuck, you'll like it. As for his penchant for lying to Sarah, as you say, I thought it was kind of a neat twist on what has been going on up until then in the series, where he was lying to everybody but Sarah and, John. I can't remember his name now. Casey, John Casey. I was going to call him Jane. Now instead of lying to protect his family, he's lying to protect Sarah. So I kind of saw that, so it didn't really bother me that much. But I can understand what you mean. With Heroes, the problem with too many characters is not that there were too many, it's that they didn't get rid of any of them, even when they should have, you know. Siler was a great character. He should have died at the end of season one, and they should not have brought him or Nathan back. But those were two very popular characters, so they brought him back. Nathan. Siler could have gone down in history as being one of the all-time great TV bad guys. You know, he would have been up there with Sonny Steelgrave, if you ask me. But they didn't. They brought him back. And they diluted the character. So not only did they not get rid of characters when they should have, but you're right, there were too many plot threads. And I didn't mind them in the first season because they interconnected throughout the season, and they all came together at the end, and I like that. But for the second series, especially in the third, and I barely watched the fourth. I enjoyed what I watched of the fourth, but I just Heroes had no longer become a habit with me. Everybody was doing their own thing, and I guess, you know, they all came towards the end, but by then it just seemed forced, you know. Whereas in the first season, it seemed kind of organic. Okay, wow, hey, they're running into each other, you know. But, no. Anyway, he goes on. I can respect your opinion of SGU, but I don't agree with your assessment of SG-1. As someone who didn't experience it until recently, your viewpoint seems to jump to a quick conclusion of, I don't care about these stories or characters. There is a stark difference between these two series and also between Stargate Atlantis and SGU, but that is not necessarily a bad thing. Many of the SG-1 fans don't dislike SGU for being too much like BSG. They dislike it for trying to be like BSG. I can definitely see this point, mostly in the camera work, special effects, lighting, and dark brooding characters. Your description of the characters' difference is correct, though. I think it mainly has to do with the dissimilarity of their situations. One group running for their life and the other trying to find their way back home. First off, I still stand by my what you consider to be a quick conclusion of SG-1 based on the first series, the first season. They had a bunch of one-and-done stories that had absolutely no connection to each other. I didn't care. I mean, it's hard to care when you know that what you're watching for the hour is not going to matter the next hour. You know, it's like those old cop shows where somebody gets shot and they're back at work the next week, you know? Or if you watch professional wrestling, the way somebody like John Cena can get the crap beat out of him for 15 minutes by seven dudes, and then next week he shows up without even a Band-Aid on him, you know? Or while that happens, there are other people who took a lot less punishment and they've been off TV for, you know, a month, you know? And that's what SGU seems like, you know? There are dire consequences for some characters, but for others, there were no consequences for their actions or what happened to them at all. And it's not just SG-1. I felt the same way about Farscape, but Farscape's one and done didn't really last all that long, you know. I'm not a big fan of the early X-Files because, you know, once again, one and done. Supernatural, one and done. Smallville, one and done. I did not care about them, but once they started to open up the mythology, I started to like them a lot more. Battlestar Galactica. Babylon 5. They had some problems in their first season, but you knew that there was an ongoing thread. You knew that there was something going on from episode to episode, and you just, you know, it started to, you could tell it was building to something. With SG-1, I don't see it. Those early episodes, I didn't see it building to anything. Now that I'm towards the end of the season, it's starting to get good. But at the same time, this is episode 19 and it's starting to get good. So between episode 1 and episode 19, quite frankly, you didn't need any of it. So, no, I stand by that. I just, ugh. Man, oh, man. And if they do what a lot of TV series, not just sci-fi TV series, but a lot of TV series, what they do is they will build up to something towards the end of a season, and then at the beginning of the next season, they sort of, not exactly undo everything, but they go back to the same type of storytelling from the first season. Dollhouse did that. The first season of Dollhouse ended on a very promising note, and then when they started the second season, they started sort of back with the one and done stuff, and it was just like, oh, really? So, yeah. Going back. Oh, and another thing. Battlestar Galactica, I still don't see it. I understand, but like I said, they're on ships. They're on old ships, so yeah, it's going to be kind of dark. It's going to be kind of broody. But not everybody on SGU is dark and broody, even though they have more of a reason to be. And you say that one group is running for their lives and the other is trying to find a way back home. I think that they're both doing a mixture of both, you know? There's the people on SGU who are hunting for the ship, you know? And these were, I'm talking about the aliens before the I don't know what they're called now. the Rona Mitra crew before they came on board. And BSG, they weren't trying to find their way back home, but they were trying to find their way to a home on Earth. So, you know, anyway, to continue, Rush is indeed a great character. Great character. Good actors can make or break a show if they portray a great villain or anti-hero. I disagree with your grouping of the crew into three categories. I don't believe there are any regular civilians aboard Destiny except for Chloe. I'm pretty sure all the humans who are on the planet with the Stargate that connected to Destiny were there as essential skill personnel. Even Eli, who is also a great character, is part of a scientific group because of his advanced skills and intellect. Yeah, I still think there are three. There's military, there's a scientific, and yes, I would put Eli with the scientific, but there's the non, which is Chloe, and at the very least, Ming-Na Wen, the HR lady, you know. So, I mean, that's who I see as being just, you know, a regular civilian. Yeah, so that's really what I meant, but yeah, I can see what you're saying, but I do believe that, the HR lady and Chloe are, you know, they're not essential skill personnel, either one of them. They may grow to be, but as of right now, they're not. Great characters can make or break a show if they're portrayed great villain. Yeah, I totally agree. That's one thing that really bums me out about Heroes and Siler. That guy, Zachary Quinto, I think he would have had a... He still would have had a pretty big career with Star Trek based on that one season. But when they brought him back, they kind of undid everything. So, anyway. Lastly, I wanted to answer your question about what other show has two males in a love triangle where they are both shown to be good guys. I think that Felicity fits the bill perfectly. I never watched Felicity. I think I saw maybe one episode. Maybe. Yeah. And Derek, X-Files is good. If you don't like it, fine. But this is strong evidence that you may be a Martian spider robot bent on destroying mankind. No. X-Files started off really weak. It got great for like a season or two, and then that's when I realized that nothing was ever going to happen. They were never going to answer any questions, and I was done with it. And that's one thing, one reason why I really have a greater appreciation for Fringe is because even though it has a lot of the same similarities to early X-Files, questions are being answered at what would be an alarming rate, you know? There's still a bunch of other questions that are out there, but they are answering them, and that's one thing that I like. That's one, you know, a lot of people said that Lost never answered questions, and I think that is wrong. They just opened up more doors when they closed one, and so... You know, I mean, because think about it, right? There was the whole thing about the hatch. You know, what was in the hatch, right? People wanted to know what was in the hatch. All right, you open up the hatch, open up a whole nother can of worms, and then people are like, oh, well, I want to know this, I want to know that. Say, you know what? Just slow your roll. They'll get to it. All right. And as for me being a Martian spider robot bent on destroying mankind, no, not bent on destroying mankind. I just want to bend all of you to my will. So everybody will do what I say. All right. And I also got an email from Bruce Rosenberger. This is just simply entitled Sci-Fi Noise. Okay. Flash Forward. About Flash Forward, the sci-fi show that I just gave up on. After watching the last episode, I realized I wasted a whole lot of time watching it. I came to that a lot sooner than that, you know? The ending tied up nothing even after we got past the time of the actual flash forward. Oh, we did, huh? Okay. I can say that it got better in the second half of the season, but not so much that I recommend anyone watch it. I actually thought that the first half of the season, before they took their little hiatus, was a lot better than the second half, you know, because the second half, that's when they were trying to force this whole conspiracy concept. Yeah. I did, however, read the book and now at least understand why all the silly subplots were introduced. A bunch of scientists sitting around discussing the various theories on time can be a bit dry. There's hardly any of the book that was used on the TV show, and it's only when we're approaching the time of the flash forward, 30 years in the future, that it gets rolling. But boy, was it worth the wait. Something that happens near the end of the book had me choking up, especially when I tried to tell my wife about it. Part of me wants to read the Flash Forward book, but at the same time, I don't believe in time travel. You know, I mean, I believe in... it's weird. I believe in extraterrestrials. I believe in alternate universes, you know. I believe in the supernatural, right? I believe in religion, you know, but I don't believe in time travel. It's just something that just really bugs me, you know. And I don't think I could sit around reading a book about people talking about theories of something that I don't agree with, you know, that I don't think exists. So there you go. You know, even when I'm reading a book, right, and they'll have something totally ridiculous, like some sort of monster in the woods, right, and they're talking about the different theories on what, you know, what the monster in the woods can possibly be, I find that shit just so boring. I just like, you know, just go in the woods and find out. You know, and you can't find out about time travel because, number one, it doesn't exist. And number two, it's just dumb. Anyway, Kang the Conqueror. All right, Nick, you and I are in the same boat with SGU. I'd never seen the other shows, although I did like the movie, but decided to watch this one. Love it. My son watched the first two and likes this one as well, but man, what a season ender. Yeah, that season ended. Whoa, I was like, okay, come on. Next episode, let's go, let's go, let's go. But no, we got to wait. And he has a P.S. here. If I foresaw my death in New York City, you can bet I'd be nowhere near there on the day. Discretion is a better part of valor. Totally agree with you. If I saw that I'm dying in Detroit, I'm moving to Albuquerque, and I'm telling everybody I love, no, I'm not coming back. No, 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 no. Okay, so anyway, that's the show. If you have any feedback, please send it to Derek at deliberatenoise.com or stop by the website, deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi, or you can call. I remember I gave you the other number at the beginning of the show. Well, here is the number that you can also call, which is 734-331-0772. Now, I haven't recorded an actual greeting for that one yet, but trust me, it's me. Anyway, thanks, and I will see you next episode. And this time, it won't be a insomnia-fueled ramble. At least I hope not. Thanks for listening.
I'm a wanker.